Have you thought much about a Bible character named Apollos? I don't know if I've ever shared any information in a devotion or an article or a sermon about Apollos. But I want to share some brief ideas today about him, because as we have this service, we just might be able to relate to him and relate to him as someone that you might never considered a biblical friend. He lived back in the first century. We certainly know where he was around 54 A.D. He was in a little Bible school, if you can say it that way. Aquila and Priscilla were instructing him. And if you will turn to the book of Acts chapter 18, you get this little biographical sketch. Interesting about Apollos. Notice with me, if you will, here in Acts chapter 18 and verse 24, it says, "Now a certain Jew named Apollos, he was born at Alexandria. He was a learned man. He was an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures. He came to Ephesus." You know, I don't know if I've ever really shared with you. My life has never been a life that's known for academics or for study. Now, men like Bruce and Tim and others, I've already mentioned this to you before. And Donnie and Sherry, brilliant people in our church. My gift has been to take what they write and say and repeat it, not to originate it. But Apollos here, this man, if you notice with me now, verse 24, he had his own reputation going. He was a Jew, which meant he was very well schooled in what had happened before the cross. And he was learning and had been learning more about what had happened after the cross. I don't know if you remember the sermon I gave here a couple of times with the idea that there were men that lived before the cross and men and women that lived after the cross. They lived under the old law with the sacrificial system and the feast days and all the celebrations that went with that covenant, as well as now changing over and living under the covenant of grace after the cross. Well, he would have been one of those men. And being born at Alexandria, this would be as if someone could say to you that you were born at Collegedale, the center of learning and the height of academic knowledge, or I could say Loma Linda or Andrews University. Anyone here born at Loma Linda? I know you know what it is. He grew up around study and academics and the very best of teachers. He must have been taught how to elocute. He could speak. He says he was mighty in the scriptures, and he came to Ephesus. All right, I don't want to speak about Ephesus, but stay with me. Verse 25, this man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord. And then there's a punctuation there that's been added. Do you see that little comma? Guess what follows next? He has all these wonderful attributes. He's of a Jewish background. He was born at Alexandria. He was an eloquent man. He was mighty in the scriptures. He was fervent in the Spirit. He had been instructed in the Lord. He spoke and taught accurately. Now listen to me, accurately, the things of the Lord. You know, in our circle, if someone begins to teach things that are not exactly right, you are so well educated, and others in our faith are so well educated, a little red flag begins to go off. A pastor called me just this week about a mutual friend that we have, and this mutual friend is taking a course of study that's really dangerous. So we want to talk to him about it. But anyway, notice the last part of verse 25. Apollos has all these good things going for him. There's a though here. You see that though? He taught accurately the things of the Lord, comma, though he knew only the baptism of John. Now, this can be argued more than one way. Maybe he didn't know about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But in verse 26, something happens. Just let your mind absorb the Scripture. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. And when Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and they did something. They took him aside and explain to him the way of God more accurately. Now, we're all just like Apollos. We're all learning. And praise God for the men and women who have the ability to coach and to mentor in a way that does not turn the person completely away and make them mad and upset. You never win friends by telling them they're going to hell because of. You never establish lasting friendships by condemnation. And I don't know how all of this works because we are all made differently. Our personalities given to us of God, genetically, and some of it is, well, not exactly personalities, but we have a lot of learned behavior that figures in there somewhere. Did it work? Yes, it worked. I can just imagine some of the things that they could have been reviewing with Apollos. As I was reading his story, you know, he was right there with Paul. I don't have all the chronology exactly right in my mind, but he was supposedly with Paul when Paul wrote the book of 1st and 2nd Corinthians. I'm not ready to go this route at all, but some believe that he actually wrote the book of Hebrews in Paul's company. I just know that God took him and used his work and used his experience, and he goes down in Scripture as a friend of God and a servant to man, and I want to be that way myself. The Scripture reading that we read in 1 Corinthians was of Paul, that a group of the brethren were coming. The big shots. And Apollos has a reputation because they wanted him to come too. But for some reason that I do not know, he could not work it into his schedule. He was choosing not to attend. But it was not convenient at the time. We should not condemn him at this particular text because he didn't show up. He does fulfill the will of God. And I believe by God's grace, someday you will be privileged to meet Apollos. But now listen, how can we put that little capsule together in such a way that it lets us transition from here to the foot washing service and then back into here? Here's the little nugget. If you could kind of see yourself as Apollo today, well taught and educated and knowing the basic fundamentals of Christianity, we still have a master teacher today, the Holy Spirit, who can use the quietness and reverence of this worship service to teach us more accurately the way we should live. If you will have an open heart and an open mind, something can happen to you today that can truly make this service one that you can remember for a lifetime. That to me would be a convenient religion.